Well, maybe we don't know a whole lot about Elijah, but now you get a story with Elijah and Elisha. It's almost a tongue twister trying to keep them apart. But Elijah was the prophet who battled the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. You know the story you heard as a child where all of these prophets tried to call down fire from their God to light the fires, and old Elijah, kind of rubbing their nose in it, poured water over everything and called down fire, and God lit the fire. Well, Elijah was about to join God in heaven, and Elisha was his closest disciple. It was the day he was to be taken into heaven, and God told him to go to Gilgal. And he went to Gilgal, and when he got there, God told him to go on to Bethel. So he told Elisha, "You just stay here. God's called me to go on." But Elisha said, "No, I want to stay with you just as long as I can. As long as you live, I want to be with you. I want to be there. I'm going with you." So they went on to Bethel. And there were a group of prophets there in Bethel, just as there are always in our life, who like to remind us of bad news. Have you ever had people, when you were feeling up, want to share bad news with you? Have you ever had people that want to steal your joy? That happened to Elisha. They pulled him over and they said, "You know this is the day that your master is going to be taken away from you, don't you?" And he said, "Be silent. Shut up. I don't want to hear you." Well, Elijah got another word from God. "I've been called now to go to Jericho. So you stay here in Bethel, and I'll go on to Jericho," and Elisha would have nothing to do with it. "I'm going with you. I'm going to be with you just as long as I can. I am going to stay near you as long as I can." And so they make the journey through the hill country, down into the valley to Jericho. And there's even a bigger group of prophets gathered there, and they pull Elisha apart, and they say, "Hey, you do know this is the day your master is going to go on up into heaven, don't you?" "Yeah, be silent, be quiet, I don't want to hear it." And Elijah came to him and says, "The Lord's now told me I'm to go to the Jordan. You stay here in Jericho." "No way, I am going with you. I'm going to be with you just as long as I can." So they both went towards the Jordan. Now about 50 prophets from Jericho decided they were going to tag along and see what was happening. But when they got to the Jordan River, Elijah took off his mantle, rolled it up, tapped the Jordan, and it parted like the Red Sea. And Elijah and Elisha walked on. The 50 prophets of doom and gloom didn't dare walk on that holy ground. They had walked to the other side of the Jordan, probably not far from the place where Moses died. But they never found his grave. They never found his bones. And that's why we believe that Moses was taken up into heaven, although we're not told that in Scripture. And Elijah looked at his faithful disciple, Elisha, and said, "If I can grant one thing for you before I go, what do you want?" He said, "I want a double portion of your spirit." Now, when we read that in English, we think, "I want as twice as much of the spirit as you have." That's not what it means. Elisha was saying, "I want the inheritance of an elder son," which is called a double portion. You see, in Israel, everybody knew the rules of inheritance. If there were five boys in the family, the oldest son got a double portion. He got 2/3 of the inheritance of the father, and the rest split the remaining third. He got a double portion. Helps us understand the situation of the prodigal son, doesn't it? He knew he was only going to get 1/3 of the property. He said, give me my third now. I want to use it now. Because he knew his brother was going to get two-thirds of everything that the father owned. Elisha said, all I want, because you're my spiritual father, is give me the inheritance as if I am your spiritual older son. If I can just have two-thirds of your spirit, I will be overjoyed. If I just have two-thirds of the Spirit of God that abides in you. And Elijah said, this is a hard thing you've asked. I'll tell you what. If you see me going up into heaven, you'll get what you ask for. If you don't see me, you won't. That's it. And they walked on through the wilderness on the other side of the Jordan. And then something really amazing happened. Along comes a chariot of fire and horses of fire. And it comes right between Elijah and Elisha. It separates them. Something pretty amazing, pretty astounding. My guess is Elisha had never seen a chariot of fire and horses. It would have been easy to have gotten distracted by that. It would have been easy to have kept your eyes on this miraculous event of seeing horses and chariots of fire. But he kept his eyes firmly on Elijah, and he saw Elijah being lifted up in a whirlwind and a tornado and going into heaven. And he received the inheritance of a son, a double portion of the spirit of Elijah. What kind of spiritual inheritance are you leaving your loved ones? What is the spiritual essence of who you are that you're leaving as a gift to those who know you best? Part of my great spiritual inheritance came from my aunt. Probably the most educated member of her family, the sister of my grandmother. There were 12 children in that family. And back in those days, not many went to college, but she went to nursing school. She was the only woman in the family who kind of broke away and was a professional. And she was looked up to in the family. But I looked up to Aunt Madeline because she just seemed to love the Word of God. She studied the Scriptures all the time, and she was the only one in the family I could really bring up questions like, I'm sure you get, Amy, with the teenagers, that just drive you crazy. You know, most of us, if we grew up in the family and we asked crazy questions about spiritual things in the Bible, they said, look, you're just supposed to believe it, go on, no, 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 no. You know? But Aunt Madeline let me question Scriptures. She let me question the faith. She let me have my own weird ideas as a teenager, wondering why God did this or why God did that. And she was a woman who left me a tremendous spiritual inheritance. Now, Aunt Madeline was a little on the side. And they'd come out with a new version of Scripture, the Revised Standard Version. That tells you how long ago it is. Any of you know how long the Revised Standard Version's been around? But I was a young teenager. And we marched down to the used bookstore on 9th Street. I mean, why buy something new if you can get it at the used store? And that's the way Aunt Madeline looked at things. And so we went through the books in the used bookstore and came across this red-bound hardback copy of the Revised Standard Version of the Scripture. It's tattered. The spine's broken, and where you open it is threadbare. But I still have that used Bible Aunt Madeline bought me in that bookstore on 9th Street in Durham. But even more, I believe she left me a spiritual inheritance to love studying the Word of God, to learn the Word of God. She was the spiritual mentor in my extended family. What inheritance are you leaving the people close to you in your life? What people come along and try to tell you those things aren't important? What we have here. Paul was saying that the people of this world are blinded to the value of what God offers us. Only those who have faith see the spiritual value in Jesus Christ. What is the inheritance you are leaving to the people closest to you? Are you working so hard to leave them a piece of property? To leave them insurance policies? To leave them some stocks or bonds? Or are you building up treasures in heaven so you leave the ones closest to you with spiritual wealth? What is the spiritual inheritance you are leaving? Elisha would not leave the side of Elijah. He wanted to be with him just as long as he can. He wanted to extend that time. And I saw the same thing happen when Jane's dad died. How the family wanted to be so close to him every minute, hoping that miraculously it would be turned around, but it was not to be. And when you know, just when Jane and Lisa and Grandma went home to rest a little bit, thinking that he was doing better, he took a dive for the worst. I may have already told you this months ago when it happened. But it reminded me again when I thought about how Elisha just wanted to hold on every minute he could with Elijah. And John was there in the intensive care when Granddaddy's pulse went down to 40. And they thought they were going to lose him. And John said, "Granddaddy, Mom, and Grandma and Lisa are on their way." And his pulse would go back up to normal. And he'd stay there for a while, and then it would crash to 40. And John would remind Granddaddy, who was unconscious, "They're on their way. They're coming. They'll be here in a few minutes." And that blood pressure would go up. And for 20 minutes, as they traveled as fast as they could from the border of North Carolina to Dillon, that happened 4 or 5 times until they rushed into the room and were able to share their last moments with Granddaddy. Like Elijah, they wanted every moment they could have with this dear man. How many of us have such a spiritual inheritance that people would long to be with us, to just get a glimpse of the Spirit of God through us, because we offer that Spirit as a part of our heavenly treasure? Are you building up that kind of treasure in your life to leave a legacy of the Spirit to the people closest to you? Or are you just blinded by the treasures of this world? We come to celebrate a Holy Communion, which is a spiritual legacy of Jesus' gift to our lives. Everyone here, member or visitor, is invited to receive this inheritance this morning as you take the bread and the cup, the spiritual inheritance of our Savior given for you and for me. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we thank you for all that you have given through the people that love us and care for us. Pour out your blessings upon us in these moments through Christ our Lord. Amen.